It was just a few months ago the child sex abuse charges broke against a longtime coach, and the conspiracy of silence surrounding the allegations rocked America and Division I college sports. The shocking story started to pour out after the November 6th 2011 arrest of Jerry Sandusky, a former coach under the Penn State football legend Joe Paterno. Sandusky had been Paterno's top lieutenant for 32 years. Turns out Paterno was told about an incident involving an underage boy showering with Sandusky in the football locker room, but reported the incident to school officials rather than the police. Game Over is filled with the details, quite shocking, of how a culture built around one deified coach with a glorious vision to have success with honor fails to act in the best interests of the most vulnerable. Co-author Bob Dvorak joins us this morning on the roundtable to talk about Game Over. Bob, good morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Good to be here.
I thank you. What brought you to write this book, ultimately so early, really, in what is... let's face it, this is going to be a story that has an impact for a very, very long time.
It's a necessary story to tell, even though it's so painful and heartbreaking to get back into. The story has so many layers, and it had been told, some of the reporting has been Pulitzer Prize winning, but it comes out piecemeal. What we wanted to do was to tell it from the start and put it in context, along with our own new information, and tell a story from start to finish going into the trial, which is scheduled for mid-June.
When you look at this, to me, the most fascinating thing about the book is, and as you indicate in the subtitle of the book, which is Jerry Sandusky, Penn State, and the Culture of Silence, is that culture of silence. And I'm hoping you can address that a little bit of how that culture came to be, and is it something that is rare or is common in such a collegiate setting?
I think one of the things you take away from Game Over, it's a cautionary tale that every college administrator in this country should read, and anybody who runs an institution should be aware of. One thing you take away also is how isolated Penn State is geographically, in the middle of a valley, in the middle of the state, in the middle of nowhere. Isolation is one of its charms, but it's also one of the main contributors to what happened. It wasn't just geography. There's this cultural mentality of, say, Happy Valley. Now, I don't think it's particularly a Penn State issue. I think it's, many people ought to be doing some self-examination now. I'll give you one example. I was in central Pennsylvania in 1979 when Three Mile Island accident happened, and the utility is saying one thing about, well, this is all under control and there's no problem, and 2 days later they're evacuating women and children. So, this is a meltdown of a different sort.
But again, that culture of silence, of having a horrible thing happen to multiple people, and for various reasons... For the victims' families, for those who found out about it, to Coach Paterno, to college officials, of all keeping this silence. Some of it, of course, makes a lot more sense than others. But it really does you see the whole thing start to build and realize that a lot of it could have ended years ago had someone said something.
There were so many missed opportunities here, which is one of the most heartbreaking and painful aspects of it. Perhaps it starts with when you're originally told that there's an incident occurred and you just don't want to believe it. And you say, well, that couldn't have happened to someone who's so considered a pillar of the community. And if you don't believe it, then, you know, you want to avoid it, then you get into denial. And then if you do confront it, and to correct the problem, you have to admit you have one. But then again, if it's going to call attention to something that generates so much money for the university, like a prestigious football program, the tendency, unfortunately, is to protect the golden goose rather than to protect the outsiders.
And certainly, and I just want to clarify what I was saying earlier. I am by no means talking about the victims here. So, and certainly understanding their concern and what they're and how they have been traumatized by what has happened. But really, this stems back as early as the late 1990s. Correct?
Correct. First investigation by the Penn State Campus Police was in 1998, when an irate mother wanted to have Sandusky arrested because her 11-year-old son said he had showered naked with Jerry Sandusky in the Penn State football locker room.
And what you get in the first part of the book is the college's attempt to basically get him to stop showering with young boys at Penn State. That was sort of their answer to that, right?
Or to, you know, after the second incident is reported, is to say, don't bring any more boys on campus. Keep it out of here. Don't bring that problem here because we don't want to have to deal with it. And, you know, this is, April happens to be Child Abuse Prevention Month and Sexual Assault Awareness Month. These kinds of things happen in a culture of shame and silence. And maybe we ought to be looking at the warning signs ahead of time. If this calls attention to that issue, well, then I think for the better.
When you look at the fact that it went back to 1998 and the school said, okay, don't do this again, how much, because you get the sense that they just turned a blind eye away. I mean, they even though reports were still coming in, they weren't doing anything.
Correct. It was, and it goes back to that issue. First of all, I can't believe this could have happened. It involves this guy. So, I'll go to the 2002 incident where there's an independent witness, a graduate assistant coach, who witnesses something, and Penn State looks into it, but nobody contacted the 10-year-old boy to find out who he was or get his version of events. It was almost as if he were invisible.
With the trial beginning soon, and of course, innocent until proven guilty. Obviously, this will have a long-term impact on sports and certainly on Penn State. Do you think the lessons that can be learned are being learned here?
What we've seen from Penn State is a promise to be more transparent in how it deals with the outside world, that to open up and to encourage its own people, its own employees, not to be afraid to come forward if they see something untoward. If they're truly committed to that, and there is this new era of transparency, yes, there are painful lessons, no doubt, but lessons that could create a much healthier environment. That remains to be seen. I mean, this wound is so deep that it's going to take a long time, I think, for it to heal. But, you know, an institution isn't an administration, and it's not a football program. Its soul is the mission to educate young people to go out into the world and be successful.
The name of the book is Game Over, Jerry Sandusky, Penn State, and the Culture of Silence. Bob Dvorak, I thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on. As I say, it's a cautionary tale, and every college administrator ought to be aware of it.
Game Over is the name of the book. It's published by Morrow. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.